Good evening. This is another conversation, House of Purpose Spiritual Center. Your host, Ty Jackson. Tonight we'll be talking again, part two of our conversation with Brother Andrew Francis. Brother Andrew, you on?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you for having me back.
Cool, bro. Well, man, I got a lot of feedback, and a lot of people wanted us to finish up that conversation. I guess before we get started, give everybody a little bio again of what you do, where you do it at, and that type of thing.
Okay. Well, I'm a life coach, spiritual coach, performance enhancement coach. You know, I do a lot of hypnotherapy, neuro-linguistic programming, helping people to tap into their potential and really bring it to life. Help people find their path if they find themselves being lost along that path. Help people tap into what their true passion is, what their true calling is in life. I teach classes on this stuff, as well as other metaphysical topics and self-help topics. So, and I'm out in San Antonio, so.
Oh, sound like you're in the mountains right now, bro. You got a lot of wind blowing.
Okay.
tonight, you know, like I say, this is part two of our conversation, spirituality or religion. And oftentimes, you know, people don't understand the two, but you mentioned metaphysics.
Right.
You teach metaphysical principles. So, and I know when a lot of times when people hear those terms, they get scared away. They want to start running away. But break that down a little bit for us. What is the metaphysical principle that you teach? What is that?
Well, metaphysics is really just taking. If we look at the breakdown of that word, so meta is four. And so we study physics, we study the physical universe and all of the matter that brings, you know, physical things into being. Well, metaphysics is just looking at the unseen, the subtle force behind the physical aspects of life. So when we start looking at metaphysics, we're looking at energy in the form of consciousness, how emotions play a part, how intuition plays a part, you know, all of those things, and how that information can be stored in physical objects, you know, divination tools, just all types of things that we don't talk about on a regular basis.
And could you, I guess, so that will lean more towards spirituality as opposed to religion.
Absolutely. Well, you know, in religion, you bring in a lot of metaphysical properties. We pray. We talk about, you know, spiritual beings, or, you know, even when we think about Jesus, you know, and him rising again, or the reincarnation aspect of Jesus. Well, metaphysics brings all of that into play and more. So religion, I would say, is more of a tip of the iceberg, whereas when you really start diving into the realm of metaphysics, you start understanding the intricacies and nuances of what it really means to be a spiritual being.
So when you say that, I guess you're not discounting the life of Christ and what Christ brought or what he brings. You're just teaching it from another angle?
Right. I mean, and I was actually having a conversation with one of my clients the other day about religion and spirituality. And one of the things that we talked about was belief plays such a huge part in what we experience and ushering in new experiences as well as things that we've experienced in the past. And so I never want to discount someone's belief system because it makes up what they've experienced. you know. And in religion, let's say with Christianity, you know, if someone believes in Christ, then I definitely want to utilize that because that's a very real part of their experience, and we just build on that. Same thing with other religions. You definitely want to take into account their belief systems. Now, when it comes to metaphysics, we want to look at those belief systems and see how they've affected the person. Are they experiencing what it is that they want to experience? If not, then, well, let's start evaluating these belief systems and see if there's a way that we can tap into a more productive and fruitful belief system that will usher in a new experience for you. So, and you can find that kind of stuff in every religious text in the world. You know, the power of belief, the power of intent. And so metaphysics just utilizes that and helps people to understand that that plays a real part in what it is that we want to usher into our lives or what it is that we continue to usher into our lives. And we can talk about, you know, karma and how that affects our belief systems, how that, you know, plays a part in the relationships that we have from a day-to-day basis. You know, we can look at past lives or, you know, just energy that we find ourselves around. And feng shui and, you know, candles and things of that nature all allude to the fact that there's subtle energy that's always affected. And we can recognize that when we walk into a room that just doesn't feel right. So there's a subtlety that we become aware of. And we're not always understanding how it affects us or what it's doing to us, but there's a knowingness that's present. And so metaphysics just brings that subtle awareness into our conscious mind.
Mm. You know, you talk about feeling the energy. So I guess that leads us to intuition, trusting yourself.
Absolutely.
How often do you, the people that come to you, is that more of a problem for them to just trust themselves or? You know, how does intuition play into the people you're working with?
Well, I think it's twofold. You know, a lot of people, we have this intuition, and intuition is something that will always be present. We don't always like listening to it because sometimes our intuition is telling us to do something that we don't necessarily want to do, you know, and it can be something like, hey, it's time for a career change, you know, and if we're comfortable where we are, at least to a certain degree, then that may be something that we don't necessarily want to do. But intuition, yes, it brings about certain feelings, you know, especially in your stomach, you might feel it, certain sensations within your body. And there are all types of ways that intuition comes into play. When I'm working with people, one of the first things I do is I feel the energy around us, you know. And what I'm doing is pretty much gathering subtle information, so to speak. I may use the divination tools such as numerology to bring my awareness into even more clarity, you know, to heighten that awareness that I'm picking up. And what you find is that a lot of people are aware, but what ends up happening is there's a fear, an element of fear that's blocking that level of clarity that they're able to experience. And with that, they become stuck where they are. You know? And if they're not stuck, they're just trying to maneuver and move around in order to avoid uncomfortable feelings that are being produced. You know? And so that's one of the first things that I bring to their awareness is where they are, you know, what energies are present and where I would say their higher selves or their intuition is wanting them to go.
And now you talk about people being stuck and we're dealing with intuition. Is just the idea of fear and doubt, does it keep people stuck in religion? It keep them from moving from religion to spirituality? What's your experience with that?
Well, it's just that, you know, a lot of modern day religions, Western religions, there's a huge fear element to it, you know, and I think you touched on it last week in saying that it's a control mechanism, so to speak. And if we realize that in history, religion has not only been a liberator, you know, for a lot of people, but it's also been something that was forced upon people and used to actually control the masses. And, you know, certain people within history, like Karl Marx, has said religion is the opium of the masses. And, you know, I think it depends on your perspective, because you have some people that follow a religion but are very spiritual in their practice as well. But yet you have other people that take religion, and it's really because they're fearful. They don't want to look outside of that because of the concept of hell and the fear of going to hell, demons or all of this stuff, because spiritual practices are sometimes demonized. And so that element of fear is very real in keeping people ingrained and indoctrinated in a religion that they really aren't very comfortable in.
So it keeps them on lockdown.
Right.
You mentioned one thing that I've found, that most religious people, you know, most church folks, don't really go into history too much. Don't delve into our history in regards to our spirituality, our spiritual systems. And again, my opinion is based more out of fear and ignorance. And it keeps us from making the transition from being religious to spiritual. And another thing that I found, you know, you might have seen this, is that in regards to your intuition and trusting yourself, fear and doubt has been put into us too, because, you know, I know I don't know about you, but I was brought up, you know, saying what you don't know who's talking to you. You don't know if it's God or
right.
the devil.
Right.
And so,
right.
You know, but I'm just a firm believer, your intuition, the thing, your gut feeling, it will never lead you astray. And the hardest thing I've found is, how do you get a person to trust their intuition, or get to the place where they trust themselves, or trust what they're feeling, what God is speaking? Because I'm a believer that God is speaking to you constantly, mm-hmm. Through your environment, through people, through nature. And, you know, I just, the whole boogeyman thing, or the devil speaking, and you don't know if the devil speaking to you. You know, what's your take on that, bro?
Well, I've worked with people that have experienced, you know, entities. I've worked with a person that was schizophrenic, and what you find is that there's a level of sensitivity, spiritual sensitivity, that goes into the mix when we're working with somebody that's schizophrenic, or, you know, just has a heightened intuition. And what ends up happening is you can pick up energies of, you know, other non-physical beings, but there's a very distinct difference between when a spiritual being, an angel or God or your higher self is speaking with you, and when there's an entity or a non-physical being that's not there for your best interest. And it goes right back to those feelings. You know, there's a feeling that you get when it's something positive. You know, there'll be feelings of love, of gratitude, of peace, really, that overcomes you. And for some people, that peaceful feeling is actually scary to them, you know, because if you're used to chaos and you're used to worry, when peace hits you, you know, it's something different. And so that may be something that you feel if you're experiencing your intuition for the first time. And there's also, like I said, when you're working with other non-physical beings that are not there for your highest good, what you find is there's an element of control, of fear, of doubt that really plays on your insecurities. And spirit would never do that, you know. Your higher self would never do that. It's always encouraging. It's like a big brother, or you know, the most positive image you can get from a father figure or a mother. You know, it's all of that love just wrapped up in one, and it speaks to you in such a peaceful and loving way that it inspires you to take action. You know, even if there's doubt there, there's this sense of certainty that, look, what I'm telling you is real, and you can trust this word. Think about, you know, some of the stories in the Bible where that same type of situation overcame people. You know, when you think about Moses being on the mountain, when you think about, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, you know, just all of this stuff, you have that element of peace even in the midst of chaos. And that's when you know that it's really God or your higher self or, you know, an angel speaking to you.
Okay. Well, you know, you brought up another point. You kind of touched on history. You talked about stories in the Bible. I always say that black people, African Americans, you know, and I don't know what they want to identify themselves. We have a lot of trauma, and that trauma is based in fear. And because we've never really had the opportunity to deal with it, then it's easy to get stuck in religion and not to trust yourself or people that look like you. And so I just, you know, sometimes it seems difficult when we look at our community, how we are trapped in religion. And I don't want to, you know, paint the picture that religion is bad, because to me it's all a transition. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we look at religion, it's the thing that you bind back to.
Right,
and,
right.
And then we have to ask the question, what are you binding back to? If it's not
right.
Something to push you forward as a person and as a people, then we need to reevaluate it. We need to examine
our religion. Absolutely.
To see if it's healthy. And a lot of times what I've seen is something that's unhealthy, man, and it gets people like they're stuck in the mud. So, but you know, with that said, it's just so much we can deal with, you know, with scriptures and the Bible. You know, I think one of the things, to me, the Bible is one of the most beautiful books written, because there are so many lessons within those stories. And I guess that's another conversation for another day, is what's
right.
to be taken what's to be taken figuratively and what's to be taken literally. So
the beautiful thing about that is that when you start opening up to your intuition, everything becomes a lesson, you know, and everything can be spirit speaking to you, you know. And I think about, you know, Moses speaking to the burning bush, right? In everyday life, we may look at that and say, man, that's ridiculous. You know, God doesn't speak like that to us anymore. But if you've ever been in the car listening to a song and it registered to you on such a profound level that you feel like, man, there's no way God is not speaking to me this way, you know. Or it can be something even more subtle, like walking in the park and a gust of wind, just when you need it, it just does something for you. And I think, you know, a lot of people have had those moments where things that weren't physical or it wasn't someone speaking, it registers to them on a different level, on a spiritual level. And it might not even, you know, be identified as spiritual at the time. You know, they may have been listening to just drums And the beat itself just ended up putting them in a trance where they start to feel emotions and sensations like the drums are speaking to them. You know, it could be a poem. It can be a sport. You know, and that's one of the things that I've really been looking at is how even being in the zone in whatever it is that you do, whether it be a sport, whether it be an art, whether it be a job, when you find yourself really engrossed in that activity, your mind travels to somewhere else where you become both the observer and the actor in that piece. And your consciousness, your intuition, your skill, and chance all just merge into one, and it allows you to do some phenomenal things. And for a lot of people, that in itself ends up being a very spiritual high, and it's akin to a monk being in a deep meditation where everything is just in flow. And all of that stuff, it really what we're talking about is just being able to tap into this aspect that is so much bigger than you. But at the same time, it brings you along, making you bigger than life.
It sounds like when you talk about a person doing things and they're happy, it sounds like you're talking about purpose. A person has found what they're here to do, man. I think the only thing that will restore a individual or a community is when a person comes to the knowledge of self, when they know who they are and what they are here to do. To me, that's life changing. That's a game changer, man. But what do you do? And I know this is a progress. This is not a snap of the finger, the twitch of a nose.
Right.
What is your process to get that person from a state of chaos, confusion about who they are, to understanding their purpose and their destiny and what they're here to do?
Well, the first thing to look at is really their passion. Like, what are you passionate about? I'm a firm believer that passion equals purpose, you know. And so what are you passionate about? What would you do for free? You know, in life, like if money was no object, what would you devote your time to doing? And you can find the time just blowing by. That's one of the first questions that I ask. But you have a lot of people that may not even be aware of themselves to that degree to be able to give you a solid answer, you know, beyond the ego, so to speak. So, that's when divination tools come in, and reading the energy really comes into play, because when you're disconnected from your higher self to a degree that you don't know what your passion is, then you're going to need a little help. But that's the beautiful thing, because spirit provides all types of answers in so many different ways, you know, and that's the beauty of religion as well, because religion will allow you to link back, like you said, to your true spiritual awareness. But you've got to be willing to open up and to explore that and allow religion, if you want to follow religion, allow religion to take you deeper and deeper. You know, but there's a lot of different ways that you can bind back. It's not just through religion, because you'll find that, you know, scientists, the more they study science, the more they get into discovering the universe and the unknowns and the synchronicities that seem to happen, the more they find purpose and they find that there's an order to this chaos, you know. Same thing with artists. When artists find themselves painting, you know, or taking photos or whatever that art may be, the more they get into it, the more they start understanding that the creations that they're producing are coming from somewhere more amazing, deeper than what they can consciously, you know, conceive themselves. And so it's a lot of ways that you can link that, but passion definitely plays a part in what someone's purpose is. And I think it's important to evaluate what our passions are and really get in touch with those passions, because they end up lighting the torch that will take you and illuminate your path in life.
Okay, okay. Looking at, you know, we're talking about religion. What when we, you know, and I guess we didn't really give a definition of religion and spirituality. Mm-hmm. How would you define religion and how would you define spirituality?
I would look at religion as the day-to-day rituals that you do, you know, or in some people's case, the weekly rituals. So how do you connect with something beyond yourself? And what you'll find is that people go through rituals, but without a solid intent, then it remains just, what would I say, fruitless in a way. But that's where religion will stop, if you don't have an intent to connect to something beyond yourself, you know. And I think a lot of people get in the habit of, they get stuck in this habitual routine of, okay, well, I'm going to pray on Sunday. I'm going to, you know, experience praise and worship or whatever it is that I do. I'm going to practice this because it's a social norm. And if you're doing it because of social factors, then that relationship with God, with your spiritual self, with the essence of who you really are, remains disconnected, because the intent behind it, and that's why you can take an intent. If you have an intent to connect with your higher self in the form of, let's say, sitting down and meditating or sitting down and reading, those things can actually produce more of a connection than going to church ever would if you don't approach it with a positive intent or with an intent to connect to something beyond yourself. So when I think about religion, I think of the rituals absent the intent. When the intent comes into play, then that's when we start looking at how spirit starts moving and orchestrating things. So I think intent plays a huge part in what in the difference between religion and spirituality.
Okay. I have to use that, brother. I have to borrow that from you, man. The ritual minus the intent. Okay, so you talk about meditation, and I guess the ritual without intent, it goes, now we're dealing with the power of our mind. And
right.
How, you know, I was brought up in church, and I love church. I still go. Got good music, man.
Right, it does, huh?
But I was never really taught. I wasn't personally taught about what the power that the power of your mind, what you can do with the whole concept of meditation. I know when you mention meditation to people in church, that's another thing that makes folks want to run. But painting the picture.
Though. It's interesting meditation is mentioned throughout the Bible, you know, meditate on his word. And, you know, so you get all of that within the Bible. And the way I think about meditation, there's a few ways that you can tap in. You know, if you're just looking for clarity, which a lot of people do, you know, especially since meditation has become so much a part of mainstream society now because of the stress reduction effect. You know, that it's been known to drastically reduce stress in life. And so with that aspect, you know, just following your breathing or just open up to awareness, whether it be a sensation, you know, you can follow that into a more peaceful place. Now, there's also, when you start talking about meditation with intent, you know, The meditation that I just described, the intent would be to gain clarity and relax, maybe. You know, but you can take it a step further and use meditation for healing purposes. You know, and this is where you start getting into energy work, when you start getting into, you know, meditation to connect with with more awareness, connect with your higher self, you know, then you start talking about breaking barriers, breaking karmic ties, you know. You can even take it a step further and going into astrally projecting, or, you know, gaining those psychic abilities, or what do I say? I'll say spiritual abilities, really, that just skyrocket and change your entire life to where your purpose starts coming to you. You don't have to go searching for it. It's there, and it becomes more abundant the more you open up to really who you are. And that's why in the Bible, you know, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things shall be added to you. You know, the peacefulness, that's there. You know, if you seek it, if you seek it out, it's there. All you have to do is set the intent. You know, knock and the door shall be open. You know, asking you shall find. Like all of this stuff is there. And it just requires us to be open to really exploring our spiritual selves. And I think the fear comes because people are scared of what that means. You know, they're scared that maybe this means that I'm going to have to give up certain things, you know, because when we talk about religion, a lot of people, they're very aware of the sacrifice. You know, that's the biggest thing, especially when we talk about Christianity. Christ sacrificed so much, but they don't realize the gain. You know, when you sacrifice things that don't really serve your highest good in the first place. And so when you seek the kingdom of heaven, when you seek your true self, all of the money, the peace, the relationships, all that stuff starts to come. And easier than you could ever imagine, you know. Things that might have taken you weeks to do comes in seconds, you know. Years to do comes in days. I mean, it's that simple.
This is my definition of kingdom of heaven, and you can tell me how far I'm off. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. That is the thing that is within you. That is your passion, your desire, and your purpose. Once you live that, then you're on track. And
absolutely.
Then once you get your purpose, everything else will come to you. Am I off? How far am I off with
that? No. I feel that's so on point. You know, when you think about what heaven means, you know, the picture that we get painted in church is, you know, streets of gold and, you know, people are joyous, they're singing. But really, the way our mind communicates, and I'm going to take it to psychology for a second if you don't mind, but
yes, sir.
Our mind communicates in the form of pictures, right? And
mm-hmm.
those pictures are simply there to allow us to connect to a feeling, right? So when we think about, let's say, something that we want on a physical level, let's say a fast car, right? We think about that because of the feelings that we feel that, or we think that that car would give us, you know, freedom. It would give us excitement, you know, all of these things that come into play. And so in our mind, that's what we feel that we need to go after. We need to go after that car. We need to go after that car because it's going to give me these feelings. Well, the kingdom of heaven will be akin to those feelings. The only reason you want that car is for the feeling. So if you can get the feeling wherever you are, then there's no haste. There's no reason to seek anything outside of that because you're already fulfilled because it's really the feelings you're seeking in the first place. And so when you think of heaven and that peace and that love and that connectedness that images will try to, you know, give you, it's really those feelings that you're connecting to. And so when you connect with your passion, that's that peace, that's that connectedness, that's that sense of awe, and that's how heaven is really, it can be right here on earth.
Well, okay, this leads me to another question. Now, we had talked about meditation, and you just got to talking about the intent and what you feel. Stay right there on the meditation piece.
Correct.
The thing that you focus on and put your intent on with a feeling of joy, you can make it manifest.
Absolutely.
You can make that thing manifest. Hit on that a little bit for, you know, how you work with your people. With the feeling, when you paint the picture of what you want and your intent, the feeling. I think the feeling is critical. How do you see that?
No, the feeling is definitely critical, because that's the connected piece. You know, if you just have a sight of something and without the feeling, it's just, you know, it's just as good as a picture on a wall. But when you can feel connected to that thing, you know, then that's when you start bringing that awareness, that energy towards you. That's when you start manifesting it, because it moves from a sense of it's over there to suddenly bringing about feelings of certainty and connectedness that allows that whatever it is to be manifested in your life. And I think one of the biggest things with that whole piece is also the ability to let go, you know, because if you think about something that you have, that you possess now, there's no feeling of, oh, I hope, because you're certain. You already have it. What is there to hope for, you know? And so if you can connect with that as if you already have it, and it talks about that in the Bible, being able to pray and know that that prayer has already been answered. That's what it's talking about. Feeling as though, hey, I have it. It's mine. You know, you're claiming that. And when you connect with that feeling being yours and you hold fast to that feeling despite any outside circumstances, that feeling will come to you, you know. And what you desire will manifest based on that connectedness.
Okay, let me pose this question. This might be a little out the box, a little throw it off for some. What about just the opposite? Oftentimes we are calling things in. We're calling those things in we don't want, but because of our focus and attention on what we don't want, it shows up continuously.
Right. Well, what you're doing in your mind, really, is you're amplifying exactly what it is that you don't want to happen. So, and you think about throughout history, you know, how many people have done some atrocities based on control, you know, and in their mind, it's become, you know, the more they try to block it, the more it gets amplified, you know, and so they take drastic actions. And they continue to build on it more and more and more. More paranoia sets in, all types of things, because where their focus is, that's where they're magnifying their energy, whether they realize it or not. And so it's important to realize that we have dominion over our thoughts, not just the world at large. You know, it talks about that in the Bible, us having dominion over the earth. But really what gives us dominion over the earth is our ability to channel our thoughts and channel our energy. If we don't have dominion over ourselves, then we really can't control anything. You know, the world would forever seem chaotic to us. And so it's a matter of standing that what it is that you want, focus in on that. You know, it's the same as if you tell, and I go back to, you know, psychology or linguistics, you know, neurolinguistics, we talk about pictures being painted with words. And so when you say, hey, stop running, the first thing that has to come to your mind is the running, because that's the word. So in order for us to comprehend it, we have to see that picture first and then discount it. And so if you're saying, look, I don't want to be broke, I don't want to be broke, I don't want to be broke, what you're actually doing in your mind is continuously seeing the picture of you being broke, you know. I don't want to end up in a terrible relationship. I don't want to end up in a terrible relationship. What you're doing is you're manifesting that, because what you're focusing on is a terrible relationship. You have to see that first in order to discount it. So it's important to understand that your words have power. You know, life and death is spoken with the tongue, you know. So you can speak life into your life. You can speak abundance into your life. And with that same power, you can speak scarcity. And so it's just a matter of understanding that and putting it into practice. So when we pray, how are you praying? Are you praying, God, please save me from this? Or, you know, God, I don't want this. Well, think about the energy behind that prayer. It's a very, it's very negative in a sense that it's fear. It's fear-based. You know, when you look at saying, I thank you, and this is why it talks about, you know, come to God with an open heart. Be joyous. That's the energy you're putting into place. You're like, God, you know, thank you for giving me this. It doesn't even have to be something you actually have. But just understanding that that feeling of gratitude has such power in manifesting that, you know, it not only does it put you in a better mood, if you know, for anyone that's listening, if you have something that you really want to manifest, start being thankful for it. You know, start being thankful for it every day, regardless of what you see. Be thankful for the fact that you have it, and the fact that, you know, the universe, God, your higher self is orchestrating it to come into your life in perfect timing. And first, realize the feeling that you get, you know. Realize how it sends your soul just skyrocketing in joy. And then understand that that sense, that power, that connectedness is really how we should be living our lives. Everything should be a joyous occasion, you know. Even when things don't seem like they're going our way, what if we imagine it like it's just a test, you know, and or like a video game, like it's virtual reality, you know. What if we approach it with that same sense? How would that change the way you handle your everyday life?
I know we kind of jumping all over the court here, brother, but you said something. you said something about when a person prays or when they the whole idea, you know, what they taught us in scripture, greater is he that is within me. The kingdom of God is within you, Luke 17:21. Oftentimes what I've seen with our community, you know, just, you know, and I can't talk about nobody else. I can only talk about what I've seen. When you put God outside of yourself or somebody outside of you that is going to, you're going to sit there and wait for them to help you, to me that is somewhat detrimental. When God say, I reside in you, and it's as if you're putting the work on somebody else, and I'm going to sit here and wait for God to come down, when really you are the you're the author of your own book,
right.
Captain of your own ship. Now, how often you come across that with the people that you work with?
Well, quite a bit, and I'm glad you went back to this point, because, you know, it's something that I wanted to touch base on, you know, especially when we talk about the African American community, because one of the first things that slavery did, When we were brought over, we were all of our sense of connectedness to our community, you know, our way of living, from the language, our religion, you know, everything was stripped from us, and it was done like that purposely, because it's like putting someone, you know, putting them out into the wilderness blindfolded, right? Their sense of direction or purpose is completely stripped away from them. And then you link that to, you know, to whoever it is. Like, in this case, it would be the master, so to speak. And through this master, you have, he's going to be the one to show you the way. He's going to feed you, take care of you, all of this stuff, you know. And any independence that you have, well, we're going to strip that away, you know. So you become more and more dependent on this person or this object, whatever the case may be. And so a lot of people still have that mentality, whether they realize it or not. You know, it's a slave mentality. And like I said, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a racial, you know, slavery, so to speak. It can be, you know, being a slave in a relationship to where you feel like you need this person to feel whole. You know, it can, in the form of addictions, you know, where you feel like, oh, well, I need to smoke this, or I need to drink this to feel this way. You know, religion can be that same type of crutch for a lot of people because they're afraid to stand on their own and understand that power that resides in them is really more powerful than anything that's outside of us. And so thinking about that and how energy or power is placed outside of ourselves, I think there's certain levels. And I like to think of it as a co-creative process. And as you climb that ladder, you know, you start to see, okay, well, at first, you know, I may pray as if I'm speaking outside of myself, you know, and I'm saying, thank God for this, thank God for this, you know. And as you grow spiritually, you start to come and say, okay, well, not me as my ego self, but I know the essence of who I really am is actually that which I've been praying about, you know, or praying to, so to speak. The essence of you, your spiritual self, is actually like that of God. And, you know, when you think about Genesis and it's, let us make man in our own image, you know, well, what does that mean? Well, we're God-like. You know, we're creators just as much. And so not to say that one person is the complete aspect of God, but understanding that you would be a ray of sunlight, and you wouldn't distinguish that sunlight shining in your room as being separate from the sun, right? So yeah, in the same regard, we are connected to God, and we are an aspect of God, or you know, the goddess, you know, whatever you want to refer to that being and that power as, we are an extension of that.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, brother.
Go ahead. No, you good.
I think that has been the biggest game played on us, is to separate us from understanding the true essence of who we are. The whole concept of God resides in the feminine and, you know the feminine principle and the male principle. I just think a job has been done on mankind when it comes to belittling or taking away a person's sense of power or who they are or what God has given them. I think that three-headed monster shows up again. And, I like to call it three-headed monster: ignorance, fear, and doubt. And I think so many things have been used with that three-headed monster. Images in our, you know, the images that have been portrayed of what is power. You know, the whole concept of a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Christ figure. And, you know, earlier we were talking about what's on your mind and then your intent, how you call things in, and how some the things that you call in render you powerless. And I think a lot of this is the images that are stuck in our subconscious. You know, that's something we didn't talk about, dealing with the subconscious and the conscious.
Right.
We just got so much stuff we got to kind of peel away in that subconscious, man. And when we start thinking about things and we start talking about the intent, that stuff rears its head, especially the negative things, the things that keep us off track from living our purpose or doing the things we're sent here to do. And just to chime in on that a little bit.
Well, I mean, one of the things that got me interested in psychology and in history, I mean, obviously I love learning new things, and, you know, I think knowledge is power, you know, and I've always, you know, I've believed that. And so I got into psychology And the first thing I did was I actually looked up the etymology of the word, and that was my senior year. And it's interesting that the word psych is twofold. It both means breath and spirit, you know. So if you look at, the Greek word of psych, it would be those two things. And ology is always the study of, you know. And so when you think about psychology, it's actually the study. And when we think about the origins of the Bible and that first time when we were given life, God, he breathed the breath of life into Adam, you know. And that in itself symbolizes, like, hey, if we're to truly understand who we are, we've got to study every aspect of ourselves, you know. Adam, the name itself means from the earth or from clay, you know. And so if we're to understand who we truly are, we have to study mind, body, that being the earthly aspect of ourselves, the body, and spirit, you know. And when you get into that, you start understanding, or you start to see the subtle nuances that make us who we are, you know, how our emotions play a part. And when we think about our emotions, a lot of people, our emotions, or we feel our emotions and say, hey, I don't have power over my emotions. I don't have power over what it is that I feel. Well, that's where intent comes in, because your intent starts to dictate your thoughts, and your thoughts will bring about emotions. But emotions also they can also be dictated based on energy as well, you know, and that subtle energy. And so that's your higher self, your spiritual self communicating back, like, hey, all right, be aware of this, or, you know, let's tweak this, let's refine this. And so it's a lot of different ways that you can approach that. And, to touch base on what you were saying as far as the consciousness and the subconsciousness, our conscious self, that's our ego structure. And if we realize that our ego structure is actually, you know, pretty solid by the age of 7, you know, before then, we're very intuitive, we're very in touch with our higher selves, you know, our imagination is very wide open. Well, at the age of 7, it starts to digress if we don't allow ourselves to tap back into that childlike us, you know. And I think that's what it means to be born again, by the way, is just being able to reconnect with that essence of who we are, that innocence. And so when you start looking at the consciousness, our conscious mind, our ego self, it's a pretty small aspect of who we are. And, you know, people used to say that, oh, we only use 10% of our consciousness, or we only use 10% of our brain. That's inaccurate. We use all of it, you know, but we only control a small part of it because we haven't tapped into how to go deeper. And really, the more you do, the more you start gaining ability and dominion over yourself. You know, when you talk about dreams hold a lot of power. They hold a lot of insight. When you talk about, you know, energy, that's an aspect of you. You know, all the energy around you is really you. And everything that you experience from a day-to-day basis, you're actually ushering into your life, whether you're conscious of it or not, because the subconscious or the superconsciousness, as Carl Jung would talk about, or collective consciousness, you know, that's an aspect of ourselves that we all share. And when we tap into that, we start being able to do cleansing, you know, spiritual cleansing, mental cleansing, physical cleansing, or healing in very profound ways, because we're not relying on conscious or not understanding, you know, that lack of information that our conscious mind can sort of bring to us. We're relying on a knowingness that's far deeper than our intellect will allow us to see at times. And so, like I said, it's really just a matter of understanding that everything is here by design for us to really wake up and to really come to know ourselves. And that's one of the most ancient proverbs that you'll see across cultures is know thyself.
And some of those phrases has even been know thyself so you may know the God within you.
Right.
And I think to me, brother, that's the greatest gift of salvation is understanding who you are. I think that's the greatest thing that God has given us is to understand who you are as an individual and then as a group. Now, you said something about a young person at 7, things are being developed.
Mm-hmm.
How looking at the opposite of that, if trauma or negativity was instilled or some bad feeling, you know how hard it is to maybe that child will take that memory into their adulthood or even to the next generation. And how often have you come across people that seem to be having something that is older than themselves that they're dealing
with?
Oh yeah, I
remember vividly. I was it was interesting because it was actually when I first started doing all of this stuff publicly. That I came across a woman, and intuitively what I saw was it was almost like a long line of shadows behind her shoulder. And it was just so interesting. So, that was one of the ways that my intuition started speaking to me. And as I started speaking with her, I shared with her what I saw, and I started getting other sensations of addictions and things that were happening. And come to find out that it has been generational. The issue that she was dealing with was generational. And so think about is that within religion, there have been many rituals that have all talked about the power of the blood. In Christianity, there's communion, and we talk about drinking the blood of Christ and things like that, of that nature, which, when you hear it, in church, it's wine or grape juice, But
yeah.
The metaphor behind that is that there's so much power within blood. There's information that our cells have stored that we pass along to our family. And what's interesting is that my senior year in college, I remember speaking with my dad. Now, we hadn't spoken in probably 10 years before that, but we spoke, and I barely knew him. And it was so fascinating, the things that we had in common, like they had just been passed on to me. He was a sociology major in college. I was a sociology major in college. It's him being a pastor and all that stuff, and then me having an interest in spirituality and in religion and all of these things. It was just very interesting, and obviously our paths went in different ways, but even the same type of demon, so to speak, have been present in our lives, and you can look at this in terms of, certain movies, how they've made reference to if you don't slay the dragon or whatever, it's going to come back for the lineage to follow, And that's the same thing. And so if we take this into a cultural perspective and look at, we can look at African Americans and look at the things that we suffered in slavery, well, that still plays out. And I remember around the same time, my senior year, I was speaking in my African-American politics class, and we were speaking about rap music. And what was interesting, I brought to light that the same stuff we were trying to escape, whips and chains, we now put in the rap music. We rapping about chains and whips, and although it's slang meaning cars and necklaces, that same stuff still binding us, because we're going after things that, aren't really for our soul purpose or our soul progression. It's things to keep us tighter and closed off from who we truly are, you know, and keeping us complacent from reaching a certain level of liberation, you know. And I think you see that in society so much that there's so many things that have been generational. And this new age movement, this new spirituality that's really tapping into all of us to a certain degree is allowing us to become more aware of those karmic ties, you know. And Native Americans, you know, alcoholism has been there. And it was a way to cope with all the atrocities that had happened to those people. You know, African Americans the same way. I mean, we've been going through so much, and we've needed things to help us make it from day to day. But if those things aren't within the essence of you, you know, that if those things don't allow you to tap into that true power, then it's going to be binding, you know, and you're going to forever find yourself being a slave on this earth and really imprisoned in your own mind.
Well, brother, we're at the halfway point. I want you to take a second and just give out some contact information and, you know, where you're located, how somebody can reach you.
Well, I'm in San Antonio right now, and, you know, I do Skype sessions to where you are. You know, we can connect. And my email address is andrewfrancis@moretolifesolutions.com. Website is moretolifesolutions.com. Like I said, I do a lot of spiritual coaching. I do life coaching, performance enhancement coaching, and really all of it is the same stuff. You know, if you're going to reach your potential, you got to understand that it's all about the power that's within you. So whether you come to me for spiritual coaching or life coaching or you want to increase your performance, understand that there's an untapped potential that's in you that is just wanting to get out. It's craving to get out. So, you know, check the website
brother,
out. Send me an email.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was getting ready to say, give us an idea of the different type of clientele that you've been working with.
Okay. Well, I've got everything from athletes, from amateurs to professionals. I have, you know, different people of all walk, whether it be, you know, people that are struggling in their business that are ready to make a shift into a new avenue because they feel stressed, they feel burned out. You know, I have people that come to me for wanting to connect more on a spiritual sense. You know, they want that resounding peace. They want answers. They want clarity. You know, all of that stuff, those are people that I work with. I mean, regardless of where you are, you can benefit from it because I firmly believe that every problem that we face is it can be solved at a spiritual level, you know, and we don't always touch on the spiritual in an overt way, you know. At times, it's very discreet, you know. We might have, you know, at times people may feel uncomfortable with spirituality, and so we look at, okay, well, what is your passion, you know? Because to me, spirit speaks through your passion, and so regardless of where you are, what you're doing, we can discover ways to get you unstuck and get you along your path.
Well, you know, early in this conversation, we talked about intuition. We talked about meditation, trusting yourself. And your practice right now, how did you evolve to where you are now? And I guess the whole process of you being able to trust yourself to be able to do energy work on people.
That was my journey. I played basketball, and I thought that that's what it was going to be. You know, I thought I was going to be in the NBA, and that was all she wrote, you know. But what I found is I kept being halted by something, you know. I would get to a certain level and an injury, or I get to a level and regardless of what I knew I was capable of on a physical level, I'd have mental breakdowns or something like that. So I studied, you know, performance enhancing psychology. But at this time, I was very much so interested in metaphysics. You know, it was something about life. I felt like there was so much more beauty that wasn't being shown to me. And so while in my mind, I thought I was doing everything to really just become a better basketball player, life, you know, it had a different purpose for me. You know, God had a different purpose for me. And it was really to tap into my passion of really discovering the greatness or the abundance of life. And, you know, that's why I got the name from my website, More to Life, you know, because I truly feel that everybody, you know, no matter where you are, you can discover that there's more to life than what you're seeing, you know. And so if you're in a place where you're not really where you want to be, understand that there's more that you're not seeing. And if you just open up to your intuition and understand that everything that comes to you is an opportunity for a lesson to be learned, then you'll find that abundance. You'll find that peace.
And all that whole process is about you trusting yourself. You trust in what you feel.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it's some shaky ground, you know. It, you know, and I was actually talking to someone today, and you know, she said, you know, I just can't find, you know, I can't find my feet planted firmly. And I was just like, well, yeah, sometimes it's gonna be like that because you're learning to fly, you know. And when you're understanding and start to trust your intuition, that same ground that you were on, it's not going to be there because you're going to new heights. You know, you're relying on something that's much more subtle. And so you're not walking the same path. At times you fly, you skyrocket, you know. And if you're still trying to walk when you're in the process of flying, it's going to be scary, you know. You know, and so it's a matter of really understanding that there's a power that's orchestrating all of this, you know, and if you allow yourself to trust in it, then you're gonna find yourself living with a passion and an exuberance that you haven't yet felt.
So I guess it would be we're talking about constant expansion.
Absolutely.
Each person, if you're on a path to your purpose, You should reach, as they would say, go to newer heights. You should be constantly
Absolutely.
In expansion mode.
Absolutely.
And so
it's ebb and flow
ahead,
to it. It's an ebb and flow. You know, there are times where you skyrocket and you feel like you're untouchable. And then there are other times where there's a period of peace. And in those times, I look at those as times to reflect, you know, be thankful for being in that place. And also, it's information gathering time. You know, there are times where spirit slows you down so that it can speak to you, it can direct you, and it can orchestrate other things so that you, when it is time to move, then you're able to just flow through it, you know. And it can be frustrating when all you want to do is go, you know. And I think my God is speaking to me right now because, you know, I just want to go, and it's not always time for that, you know. And it's just like nature, and that's why ancient civilizations were so wise, because they understood that the same seasons were used to keep them alive through, you know, planting crops and you know, feeding themselves on a physical level, well, that was also spiritual nourishment that they were able to get because they understood that time plays a role. You know, you can't always plant when it's not that when it's not the right season. You know, if you try to grow watermelon in the winter, you're probably gonna have some problems. You know, so it's just a matter of understanding that there's certain seasons to plant seeds. You know, and there's certain seasons in which you harvest. And without that, then there would always be chaos. And
yeah,
so it's a matter of understanding that and taking, you know, that very principle and understanding that in itself has given us, countless religious stories, you know, just understanding the seasons of change and seasons of harvest.
You know what, that's, I think that was a good point you made. I want to piggyback on a little bit. Is the earth goes through different seasons and phases. And so it's just a given that we're going to have to go through seasons and phases also. You know, there's a time to grow. There's a time to plant. There's a time to harvest. There's a time to rest. And I think once we understand that, to me, that is the best thing I can say about that is being in tune with nature.
Absolutely.
And just knowing that we're going to have to go through phases. You know, it would be naive for us to think if the earth goes through shapes, phases, and changes, that we won't go through changes and phases. You know, so I think all of that is a part of you understanding who you are and trusting your intuition. You know, it won't let you down. It won't fail you. And those are the different things we need to use. Wow, brother, we done covered a lot, man. We just been going, man. we've been pumping it out. I got you rolling, man.
Yeah,
but,
you do. I'm in my zone.
You're in your zone. There you go. See? And you know what? When a person is in their zone, everything is going to flow right. And that, to me, that's what purpose is. That's what destiny is. And that's why I kind of wanted you to talk a little bit about how did you get to this point. You know, and what I don't want to say, you know, I'm not speaking for you, but did you see it wasn't as hard as a lot of people would think it would be because you were in your purpose, you were in your destiny, you were in your zone?
The hardest thing is shaking that fear. You know, I remember when I first started, you know, even looking into spirituality or other religions or other philosophies, because I was really researching. I understand now in hindsight that's very much so a part of my personality because a lot of what I do is teach. And so in order to teach, I've got to gain information. I've got to go through experiences of such so that I can, you know, bridge that gap for other people that, you know, that want to utilize me as a bridge along their path. And so, you know, while I was studying all this stuff, you know, I was experiencing fear, I was experiencing anxiety, I was experiencing doubt, and in turn, what was happening was I was actually bringing that into my awareness, you know, where that fear that I would be looked at as crazy would manifest as somebody thinking I was crazy, you know, or it would manifest as someone feeling like, oh, man, this dude doesn't know what he's talking about, he's lost, things of that nature. But the more I just blocked that out and I said, you know what, I'm feeling this at such a deep level that I can't deny this, that I've got to pursue this.
Yeah.
And the more I did that, what ended up happening is I started having people coming to me, you know, and in some instances, it would be the same people that were saying I was crazy, or you know that you know, and I think it's a beautiful thing, and you know, the Bible talks about that and how your enemies will start to seek you for advice, you know, they'll start to come to you for clarity and for help. And you definitely don't want to turn away anyone. And so the more you start pursuing your passion and you start to understand that there's there's an aspect of you, a greater you, if you will, that's orchestrating your path, there is no reason to be fearful, you know, because fear is really an illusion. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when you connect with that, with love, you connect with power, and your mind becomes clear, you know. And so you're able, that intuition, it's not something that happens by chance. That's a gift that's bestowed upon all of us. You know, we have that power.
Yeah.
We have that foresight. You know, that's ours. That's our divine right. That's our connection because, like I said, we're an aspect of God. Whether we want to embrace that power and that truth or not, we're an aspect of God. And so as that, you have the ability to create based on your passion. That passion is, that's your roadmap. That's, hey, man, you know, that's your GPS system, you know. So if you're passionate about something, pursue that. It's taking you to your destination. And along the ride, you're going to get gas in the form of intuition. You're going to get gas in the form of, you know, people being alongside of you, encouraging you. You know, you're going to get gas in just doing what it is that you love to do, because that's going to, you know, more than anything, that's going to skyrocket your spirit. You know, just you being at peace and being in your own zone, being in your own place, that's going to help you so much. Because the more you connect with that passion, the more you feel like, man, I'm on top of the world. You know, this is heaven. I can do this, regardless of what else is going on. And that's why, you know, being in your zone, like when we talk about athletes, we talk about artists, musicians, when they're in their zone, time gets distorted. You know, they can do that for hours, and it feels like minutes, you know. And not only that, but any negativity outside of that place that they find themselves, it disappears, because you can't be worried and in your zone at the same time. You know, your mind doesn't operate like that. Your focus becomes refined to the point where nothing else matters. You know, and I think of the love song by D'Angelo and Lauryn Hill. You know, nothing even matters. And you know, if you listen to that song, you know, I get chills because I think of it from a very spiritual perspective. Like, everything could be happening outside of me, you know, all around me. But when you're focused and you're pursuing your passion and you're in that zone, nothing ever matters. Nothing can touch you, you know, because you're so deeply connected to who you really are.
You know, I like to use this term about that place, the zone. That is, to me, the kingdom of heaven. And,
absolutely.
You know, when the scripture says, go within into the kingdom of heaven. To me, that is the kingdom of heaven. It's understand. I mean, because you had bliss, man. You had peace. Your mind is at ease. Your body is at ease. There's no confusion. You have a sense of clarity. I mean, every positive term we can use is within
it's
the
there.
Zone. Is there. And what that is purpose. You are living what God has created you to be, what you were created to be. And there's no better, hey man, there's no, that's the best drug you can have. That's the best shot.
It is. It is.
You know,
it creates and releases so many endorphins. You know, you just being in that place. I mean, it's anybody that's experienced it, anyone that has experienced being in that place, they long to experience it again, regardless of how they experienced it. They long to be back in that place. And the interesting thing is you can find yourself being in the zone in different aspects. You know, it can be a good conversation. It can be in the sport. It can be embracing someone that you really love. And in all that, I mean, when you think about, you know, when you hold a baby, you know, your child for the first time, that feeling in itself can just send you, your heart soaring, you know. And that's, you got to understand what that is. That's a manifestation of that power, that creative power that manifested in you being able to create a new life, you know. So that in itself, I mean, that's powerful. And understanding that that same creative force can help you to create other things, you know, not just another life. It can help you create a business. It can help you create a sense of connection back to your spiritual self, which is really the ultimate bliss.
Mm. It's like as long as you're on your path, the people and the things that you need are going to come to you. That's how I like to look at it too. You know what? But if you're off your path, then you know you're gonna be met with delays. You know, it's just but like we said, the zone, brother. I like how you describe it, the zone, being in the zone. Hey, we got a couple callers. I don't know if they just listeners or callers, but I'm gonna come to you right quick. 281-857. If you have a question or a comment. Okay. All right. I think that person was a listener. I have one more. We're gonna try this one, Brother Andrew.
All right.
Good evening. You have a question, a comment, or are you just listening?
Well, I'm listening, but I do have a quick comment, if you'll indulge me.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Very much enjoying the show. Listen, I just very quickly, I'm here with my father, who's a community organizer, and a lot of people from our community listen to your show, but I think these things could be relevant to anyone listening. He just wanted to give very quickly some tips on how to have a safe Halloween if you have children. Would he be able to come on the air and quickly do that?
Sure.
Okay, his name's Ronnie. Dad, you can pick up the phone and go ahead. Here he is.
Go sit out on your porch, wrapped up in a mummy uniform. Take a bag and put right on the bag mummy sticks. And you have your cock in the bag, wrapped up like a log.
Well, Brother Andrew.
Wow.
I don't know what that was, man. But, I guess that's when we out our zone, huh, man?
Right.
That's that thing that shows up when you are not in your purpose. But you know what? My intuition.
Right.
I guess I
should have followed
my intuition.
Yeah, I started to be like, no, that's okay. But you see, that's what happens when you don't follow your intuition.
Let me get to this though, brother. I'm about solution, and for that individual that's trying to find out who they are, what are the steps they need? They may. Now, we know everything is around you that's pointing to who you are and where you need to go and what you need to do and what you need to be about. What steps would you give that individual that's still confused or in doubt of fighting with fear about what path they need to take to find their purpose?
One of the things that I suggest is getting in touch with your imagination. You know, so we do a lot of imaginative work. You know, we ask just, hey, if you had no fear, what would you do? And, you know, answer that with no hesitation. Just dive in. Whatever comes out, let it come out, you know. And then we explore that. And because what ends up happening is the more you speak from a place of just letting your imagination go, you know, you start to get thoughts out, you start to get feelings out. May not be what exactly it's speaking, but the more you allow it to come, the more your true self starts to show itself, you know. And in the process, you start to become an observer of that process, and you're like, wow, you know, I didn't know that was there, you know. And really, that's what psychologists do. You know, when you're in talk therapy, And they're asking these questions, how does that feel? And, you know, what was that like? And all this stuff. It allows you to get rid of that baggage that's really on top of who you really are. And it allows you to unearth that aspect of yourself. And so one of the things that I utilize is hypnosis, because rather than taking the time to really, you know, explore through your ego kind of entertaining everything, we dive into the subconscious mind. And if you do hypnoanalysis, then it allows you to connect with that aspect of yourself and just come to light. So that's one of the processes that I take. I mean, but like I said, I mean, it always comes back to your passion. It always comes back to your passion. Your passion, that's that aspect of you. And if you feel like you've lost your passion, if you feel, you know, that things are so uncertain, well, that's the beauty of divination tools. You know, I use numerology because I look at the birthday, and I think that when you're connected to your day of birth and your name, the name that was given to you, it tells you, hey, this is why you were born on this day. You know, this is what you came here to do, and your power, that's in your name. You know, if you think about it, when you're called by your name, and there's all sorts of references in the Bible about the power of a name. You know, when you call something by its name, you bring it into being. You know, we talked about that when we talked about manifesting things in prayer. And so when you link the power of your name and divine timing in the process, you know, and really your birth, then it uncovers so much knowledge for someone. You know, and so I utilize that. If people just are that disconnected from themselves, then we start to explore that from that level. And you know, a lot of people, they believe that things happen for a reason, you know. Not always to the same extent, but they believe it, you know, because they've experienced synchronicities that have happened that have taken them from one thing to another for a particular purpose that they feel like they definitely needed to experience. And so with that awareness, I just connect that to the practice of numerology, to the practice of meditation, you know, and we really start to explore those subtle energies, and that's really how I bring metaphysics back into all of this stuff.
So what was on a zodiac chart, what is your zodiac sign?
Well, I'm a Capricorn.
Okay, so what is the traits of a Capricorn?
You know, sure-footedness. and I can tell you a lot more about my numerology, but what I do know about Capricorns, like I said, they can be stubborn, you know, and it's really a trait that comes from the sense that they've been there before. You know, there's a wisdom, so to speak, that is there, and they have this allure about themselves along those lines, you know, that they've been there before, and so they are sure-footed in what it is that they know. You know, they also are physical in the sense that they utilize things that are physical in nature to uplift them to spiritual heights, spiritual realization, you know. And so some Capricorns suffer from addictions like drugs and things of that nature because they're looking for ways to utilize the physical to get to, you know, spiritual heights. In the case of myself, you know, moderation of physical things also are used to get to spiritual heights. But even, you know, one thing that I'm fascinated with is Tantra. And just the power that, you know, that creative energy that is tapped into in, when, in, you know, in the form of sexual energy, you know, that can be utilized for spiritual upliftment. So those are some of the characteristics. Sorry about that. Characteristic traits of Capricorns that I identify with.
And the reason I ask you that, brother, is because that's something simple that everybody can do.
Right.
Is look at from the zodiac. Just look at your traits and see how that lines up with you and lines up with your energy, and use that as a stepping stone and learn more. It helps you to learn more and more about yourself. And then when you talk about numerology, you know, what is your life path? You know, use that.
Absolutely.
What is your life?
I'm a seven. I'm a seven, and you know, seven.
I'm a seven also, brother. I'm a seven.
I already knew that, man. I can tell that. But yeah, I mean, seven. That's your philosophers, your spiritual teachers, your psychologists, people that look for deeper understanding in life. And because they look for that, they also end up being your teachers. You know, they're the ones that are going to be at the forefront of metaphysical, you know, seminars or, you know, different avenues of being able to utilize their level of intellect to bring about more growth, more expansion. You know, and so number seven, I mean, it's a very spiritual number, and it's referenced all throughout the Bible. The seven gates of heaven, you know, the world was created in 7 days, you know, all of these things. Seven has been around that, especially when we're talking about creation and power. And when I think about seven, I think of the chakra, you know, and how, you know, the seventh chakra is actually the crown chakra, which links you to your higher self, you know, that elevated level of consciousness. So, I mean, yeah, I already knew you were seven. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
But you know what I think a beautiful thing is for all of us, and I know you say you have two children, I have two children, is to be able to use these techniques or these skills or these forms of divination to find out who our children are, what their purpose is. Because, you
Absolutely.
Know, say, for instance, me, it took me up until my 40s, man, to just get a good understanding of who I am and what I'm here for. Just imagine you can get that to your 12-year-old, your 13-year-old, you know, your 18-year-old. You make things so much easier.
You do.
Go ahead.
You do. And one of the things that, you know, that I think about whenever you start using divination tools, I think one of the first things we do, we look at our family. You know, we look at the people closest to us, and it's beneficial, you know. But there's also a responsibility that comes with it, because you have to be willing to allow them to come into their own as well, you know. So I think about my kids and being able to utilize this with them. But, you know, my kids are 10 and 7, you know, and so they're still developing. They still have their own path that they have to go on, you know. And so while some of the stuff that I can provide as far as characteristic traits and things of that nature, I mean, they are very much so evident, you know, there's a lot that they can still, you know, that's still very unique to them as well, you know. And as parents, I think we want to constantly shelter our kids. We want to make sure that they're safe, and, you know, for good reason. I mean, the world, they got some stuff out there, you know. But at the same time, you know, we can't take away their journey as well, you know, because their journey is their journey, you know, and that's their gift also. It's not just, you know, something that we come across. I mean, it's a gift to be living in this day and age. And so I'm thrilled. Like, just, you know, when I spend time with my kids, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, because I get to see them growing up. I get to see them, you know, coming into their own, whether it's something that, you know, that I really like, or it's, you know, them being mischievous in some type of way. I look at it all, and I'm like, man, you know, that's pretty cool, because I can look back at, you know, when I was their age and some of the stuff that I did, and I'm already looking. I'm like, man, these guys are going to be way ahead of me, you know. They just, you know, continue on that path. I mean, it's a blessing.
Yes, sir. Definitely, definitely. Our brother, we've talked a lot of stuff around, man, here tonight. I guess we're going to have to do it again because there's so many other different things I can think of for conversation. But that's definitely it's been good, man, I appreciate it. Before we go, again, give out some more contact information for yourself.
So, Andrew Francis, I'm in the San Antonio area. I actually have an office in Balance Health Healing Center off of Blanco here in San Antonio. I can be reached by my email, andrewfrancis@moretolifesolutions.com. If you check out the website, moretolifesolutions.com, you'll see contact information as well as address. Like I said, just you know, check out the website, you know, shoot me an email, give me a call. I'm here.
Okay, okay. Some information for me, myself, this is Todd Jackson. Website is not complete, but the contact information is there. It's www.purposeandspirit.org. You can hit me on my phone, 713-962-7491. Personal email is jackson90todd, T-O-D-D, at yahoo.com. Hit me up. You got a show idea, a conversation you want to have, give me a holler. Well, Brother Andrew, man, this was good, brother. I can take this and build on this, man. Spirituality or Religion, Part 2. Brother Andrew Francis. Hey, man, I appreciate you. Hopefully we real soon. We're only 4 hours away. Maybe we can do us a conference, put something together we can do together, man.
Hey, man, I would love it. I would love it. This has been beautiful, man. It's a blessing. I've been wanting to do it, so this is, I guess, a manifestation of my desire to actually do some blog talk radio shows. So, I mean, I appreciate you and, you know, our guys bringing us together to be able to do this.
Yep, yep. And like to send out some thanks out there to Sister Vicky Shamaro for hooking us up. She's been talking about us hooking up for the longest. So, I just want to wish what you do, you, your family, all the peace, the prosperity, that they come your way, and all the good energy, my brother. And we will talk in the future, man. Thank you so much, man. All right.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
Okay. God bless.